This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.
Welcome to Tech News Briefing. It's Wednesday, March 20th. I'm Alex Osola for the Wall Street Journal. Coming up on today's show, identity theft is a big problem in the real world and online. But there's one group that's particularly vulnerable, kids. We'll speak with WSJ contributor Heidi Mitchell about how to protect your children and what to do if your child's identity is stolen. And then, X is trying to cultivate a community of creators to rival YouTube and TikTok with mixed results. We'll find out about X's strategy and what's holding some creators back from posting their content on the platform from WSJ reporter Alexa Course. But first, it's not just adults. Children can get their identities stolen too. Last year, more than 22,000 identity thefts of Americans aged 19 or under were reported to the Federal Trade Commission. That makes up 2% of all cases. There are a few different ways scammers can steal a child's identity, but a lot of those thefts come from data breaches. WSJ contributor Heidi Mitchell joins me now with more. Heidi, how do parents find out that their kid's identity has been stolen?
So there's a lot of red flags that can come your way. You might get a call from a bank asking for your very underage child. You might get notices in the mail stating that your child is available to get some sort of credit. You might get a letter from the IRS saying that they haven't paid their taxes. Strange for an 8-year-old. You might be denied benefits such as food stamps.
You write that the Social Security number is like the holy grail for scammers. What do they do with it?
So the biggest problem right now is that they create something called a synthetic identity, and they take that Social Security number and then they can put any address or name onto it. They could sell it on the dark web for not that much money. And then they can start applying for small things like a Target card that gives you $500. And then over time, that credit score gets higher and higher. And ultimately, if it's never checked by a parent or a child, then they can get enough money to buy a car or do some serious damage.
Okay, so how can parents prevent their kids' identity from getting stolen?
The first one is really the most nebulous and difficult. It's really keeping an eye on your kids' social media and on what you post about them on social media. We post in front of their mailbox with your address. Some kids post their first driver's license that has information on there that can be used with their full names. So maybe have a good conversation with your child about their digital literacy and why it's important to be conscientious about what you put out there. There's something you could do called credit freezing. And so you call the three credit bureaus, Equifax, TransUnion, and Experian, and you ask them to check your child's credit. You have them run a manual credit. If there's no credit report, that means there's no fraud. If they don't have a credit report and you call them to ask for one, they will then create one and then you can freeze it. And then the child can unfreeze it when they're ready. The other thing you can do is you can put a fraud alert on, and that's a pretty good deterrent. And they're free.
Okay, so let's say you do your best, you take preventative steps, it happens anyway, your child's identity gets stolen. What should a parent do then?
So the first step is to call the institutions that have given credit, your Targets, your Amazons, whatever. Call them, tell them, on this date, you need to shut this down. This is fraud. They're probably going to ask you for some proof. Then you want to go to the credit bureaus, freeze their credit. And then you want to go to annualcreditreport.com, which all bureaus allow you to check your credit weekly. Then you want to go to identitytheft.gov. This is the FTC site that will let you do a one-stop list of all the things you need to take care of. It'll also provide you with all the steps you need to do, from getting a new Social Security card to unwinding any criminal activity that's under your child's name. But the identitytheft.gov acts as a official report that you can then give back to those creditors and say, look, this really did happen. You need to refund me and unwind all this bad debt, bad credit.
That was WSJ contributor Heidi Mitchell. Coming up, what will it take to get creators to post their content on X? The company is hoping it can find out, and fast. That's after the break.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. Insights. You need them to solve business problems, but buried in volumes of disparate data, they're seemingly invisible. C3 Generative AI enables business leaders to instantly access secure, hallucination-free, verifiable insights from a unified knowledge source, all with a natural language search. Turn the invisible into the obvious with C3 Generative AI. Learn more at c3.ai.
Since the early days of Elon Musk's takeover of X, he's tried to recruit creators to post their content on the platform. Creators fill an important role in engaging users and attracting big advertisers to X. But so far, the platform's efforts have fallen somewhat flat. WSJ reporter Alexa Course joins me now to talk about why some creators say the strategy still isn't clear and what the company can do about it. Alexa, you spoke to some creators. What reason did they give for not posting their content on X, or at least not having that be their primary destination?
A lot of creators use X to post like free content. But the issue is, if you're going to post original, carefully produced content, creators say that they want to know more still about what X's strategy is here. X has been trying kind of different efforts, different products over the past months, but creators say that it's not really still clear to them how that translates to like revenue or a sustainable business.
What is X doing to attract creators, and how is it different from YouTube's strategy?
X is actually trying something similar to YouTube with offering to share advertising revenues. YouTube has just been doing this for so much longer and put a lot of time, effort, and communication to this. Still relatively new for X. Some of the creators I spoke to said they're really still waiting to hear more from X about exactly how this would work.
Are there questions around the amount of advertising revenue that X is getting and who those advertisers are?
That is a really big question. It might even be the biggest question I heard from creators is, how much are advertisers actually spending on X right now? One creator told me advertisers are the foundation of the creator economy. And if X is going to offer to share advertising revenue, the question is, how much are advertisers going to be spending? And we know X has been struggling to attract advertisers, especially these big name brands who are nervous about Musk changes and changes to content rules and his other changes he's made to the platform.
And what has X said about this?
X says attracting creators is a really big priority for them. We've heard Musk talk about this. We've heard ex-CEO Linda Yaccarino talk about how they want to make X a big home for creators. They say they're proud of how their program is going so far.
There are some creators who are choosing to post on X. What's different about those creators versus the ones who are making it work on YouTube or TikTok? I'm thinking about Jake Wujastik, who posts stock market research on X.
The interesting thing about Jake is that he's really found success with more of like a paywalled content model and not so much like sharing the advertising revenue. So his Twitter page, you can subscribe and you actually get to see more tweets that aren't public for people who aren't paying. That's been really successful for him. He told me he has about 5,000 subscribers and he's making most of his living off of X.
And speaking of another creator, there's YouTube star Jimmy Donaldson, aka Mr. Beast. So after this kind of back and forth with Elon Musk in January, Mr. Beast said he posted a video to X. He said he made upwards of $263,000 for that video, and it got 156 million impressions on X. How does that compare to his YouTube business?
This got a lot of attention because it was probably the biggest, but certainly one of the biggest payouts we've seen a creator get on X. Still, what we can tell from what Mr. Beast has suggested elsewhere about how much he makes from YouTube videos, it's still like relatively small. Mr. Beast has suggested he sees about $5 million monthly from YouTube. Mr. Beast is a special case because he makes these like crazy elaborate, crazy expensive videos. Even he posted on X about his payout, saying this video got a lot of attention. The payout I saw from X is probably higher than what someone who's less well-known would probably experience.
Thinking about another creator here, former CNN host Don Lemon. Last week, Lemon said Elon Musk canceled his deal with X because Musk wasn't happy with an interview Lemon did with Musk. X said an agreement hadn't been signed. Is this indicative of X's relationship with other creators?
You could think of this as like a premium tier of creators that X was trying to attract, in addition to offering to share ad revenues with a wider swath of creators. They had signed up some bigger names for a series of video shows, and that is where Don Lemon fit in. Now, X says Don Lemon is still welcome, and he has gone on to post his first episode of his video show on X and use the ordinary tool for creators. But there were certainly some users of the platform who felt this was still not a good indication for if you're trying to think of, okay, do I want to have a business relationship with X? Are they going to be a good partner here?
What's at stake if X doesn't get more creators on its platform?
Creators draw eyeballs. Creators could also help draw advertisers. There's a cycle here where obviously if you have great engaging content, advertisers are going to want to be on the platform. So it is a key part of X's efforts right now to turn around its business, rejuvenate its business.
That was Journal reporter Alexa Course. And that's it for Tech News Briefing. Today's show was produced by Julie Chang with supervising producer Catherine Millsap. I'm Alex Osola for The Wall Street Journal. We'll be back this afternoon with TNB Tech Minute. Thanks for listening.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.